I want to introduce our special speaker today. Pastor Tom Brackett is here with his wife, Laura. Oh, and also Ms. JoJo. Ms. Jen, how are you? He comes to us from Family Life Church in Wilmington, Delaware. He's been the pastor there for 60 years. But I had it in my mind that he's... He's been the pastor there for 6 years. But I had it in my mind that he's been in ministry for longer than that. And I said, Pastor Tom, it's been about 40 years. He said, I preached my first sermon when I was 15. He's been in ministry. He's 55 now. He's been in ministry for 40 years. So Family Life has had him for 6, but he's been doing the work of the Lord for 40 years. God is good. He was the Discipleship Ministries Director of our conference for a couple of decades. They called our camp for the longest time, they called it Bracket Camp. That's what they call it. That's not a joke. Like, that was, the lady who does the scheduling, she showed me on her calendar, it just said Bracket Camp, because that's how attached they were. The Brackets have been serving the Lord for a long time, and we are grateful to have them here with us today. Tom's going to come and minister to you, so as he is coming, would you give him a hand? We stretch your hand forward, Father, in Jesus' name. We pray that you would bless this time. God, we pray that Tom would decrease so that you could increase. We know that you have prepared him for this moment. God, we know he went through a traumatic thing recently, this gallbladder surgery. His gallbladder was gangrenous and could have killed him, but it didn't because you were God. And you brought him here today to share with us, Lord. Give him strength, energy, and focus, everything that he needs to share what he has been prepared to bring today. We love him and we love you, God. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be in his presence. It's good to be here with you. I got to make sure that I'm running all this electronics correctly, so I don't want to be electrocuted. I just want to feel the power of God, not the power of the electricity. I want to say thank you to your pastor for inviting me. He was very kind. I'm standing here, I feel like on the top of three giants. But I do want to say thank you. I appreciate being here. I have the picture of seeing a parade go by, and there's all these people in front of you, but I've been kind of hoisted up a little bit higher, and I get to see the nice things going by, but it's because of the people that, let's see. So Pastor Russ is in the back of the building. Can you just give him a warm welcome? I love Pastor Russ. You pastored this church, of course, for many years. I would dare say that there are many people in the ministry that wouldn't still be there if it weren't for Pastor and Mrs. Russ. They have inspired me and my family and looked out for us and loved us. And I just want to say thank you. And I know the folks here love you. And I'll say thank you to you as well. In his unique way, he was always looking for talent. He was always looking for what God can do in your life. He just had a gift, and still has a gift, just to see what God has planted inside of you. And that's how he found Jamil. Jamil was a diamond in the rough. And Pastor and Mrs. Russ just loved him. Found him a nice wife here in the congregation. Good, godly woman, full of spirit and soul. They led the congregation. And then, as Pastor Ben pointed out before I got a chance to, 5 years ago today, I'm standing on the shoulders of a wonderful fellow, Ben Spearman, who I know you love and appreciate his ministry. And I was just out of the hospital, so I think I have the details correctly. But Ben was voted in last week on our board for the conference, and is, of course, continuing in the Christian education, but he's also representing our conference, and I think you should recognize him for that. His wonderful wife took a strong woman to, I won't say anymore. When Jamil met Ben, I'm sure that he was full of energy. I'm just going to leave it there. I want to say thank you to a lot of you. You have been an inspiration in my life, my family's life. My daughter's here to attest to it as well. I have in my notes to start naming names, and I thought, I better not do that. But I do have to recognize, at least, please let me, and apologize already for leaving people out, because there are many of you that I should say. But Sharon and John Eckenrode have had a wonderful impact in our lives, working together in Christian education for more than 20 years. And I just want to bless them and thank them publicly for all their kindness and love to our family and shared ministry.
Amen.
I could talk about Katie and Martin. All right, stop. I want to preach to you today from the book of Romans. In fact, I want to preach the whole book of Romans. What time's lunch?
Yeah. You don't have that kind of time, Pastor.
Did you know you can study the Bible without ever reading it? That's a danger. I don't suggest you do that, but you really can. You can study all about the Bible and know a lot about it, but never actually read it. Because there's so many great teachers and great people that you can read about and read on. But when you read the Bible, God gives you special insight into your own life. And gives you insight into God, his character. In fact, Pastor Ben just said two parts of my sermon, so I can cut out two-thirds and we'll be done quick. But you feel the presence of God as you read. It gives you special insight. I want to share with you today three different principles from the scripture. There's a lot of them. In our pursuit of God, there are a lot of things that are principles in our lives. And I want to look at three of them. They're on the screen. There's going to be, I won't read every scripture from Romans that I want to share with you, but they'll be up on the scripture, up on the screen, so multitask. And let's say a prayer. Lord, we just stop and recognize your presence in this place. Thank you for bringing every person here. We're here on purpose. We're here in your presence. We ask you, God, to touch us by your Holy Spirit. Draw us closer to you today because we've joined together. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
The reason I chose Romans is there's a lot of people who have said some great things about the book of Romans. They have seen the insight in the book and have expressed the greatness that God has portrayed in it. One of the Bible teachers who is, he's in his 80s now, but has studied the scripture for 50 years and taught the scripture, he said that you should learn why a book is written. The book of Romans, as you read it, it really comes in three sections. The first eight chapters is a foundation. The next three chapters are an admonition. And then the last five chapters are then some greetings and etc. to continue in your life. I kind of fall into the category of where Romans was written to answer a problem that was in the church. If you study it, you realize that Paul, yes, he's trying to get to Rome to preach. And so he lays a long foundation in the first eight chapters. But then in 9 through 11, he reads our newspaper. Historically, what happened is this. Nero invites the Jews to come back to town. They'd been already tossed out by Claudius. He invites them back and they come join the church, the Gentile church. So here's what it is. The Gentiles believed that they had the real truth. And the Jews were excommunicated because they didn't follow the real truth. God punished the Jews. The problem was that when the Jews came back, they came back full of the Holy Spirit. And so the people with the real truth encountered with the people with the real, real truth. And there was a bit of skirmishes in the Roman church. Everybody wanted to pursue God. And I hope and I believe that's why you're here today. It's because we're pursuing God. My wife and I were at a dinner last night. And thank you for sharing about my intestines. I have to be careful right now while I'm eating. And if I run off the platform, it probably isn't the Holy Spirit, but I'll raise that. One of the ladies there I was talking with, she's been going to church for more than 50, 60 years. And I asked her, what is the secret to your pursuit of God? And she said right away, my foundation, my family, our values. We look at things differently. When things come into our lives, we realize that some things you just can't change, God brings you. Paul said it this way. He said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power. God's gospel is our power. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
He has put in us a power beyond what we can think or imagine. He says a little bit later, I'm reading at a distance and reading my notes at the same time. I'll get used to it in a second. It probably would help if I wore my glasses, but I don't know where I put them. Yeah, it probably would help. Jacob's here from our church, which I appreciate him driving all the way down the couple hours. And you're very kind. You're very kind. And he knows that I lose my glasses quite a bit. Yeah, I went back to teach in high school too, so I had to get glasses that come down on the nose. I got to stop here because I almost missed something, and I don't want to miss this because it's part of my foundation. You ever go to the mailbox and find something that you didn't really expect? Sometimes it's bad. I'm not talking about the bad ones. I'm talking about when you go to the mailbox and you open up. I got a letter a couple years ago from the IRS. And I've been talking with them through an audit where they told me I owed $4,000 and some change. And I gave them paperwork and et cetera. I got a letter from the IRS and I opened it up. And it said, you don't owe anything. Your records are correct. And here's an extra check for $148 where you made a mistake that we owe you. That feeling right there is every time I see my wife. That's exactly what I feel like. I love my wife and honor her today in front of you. She's part of my foundation. I wrote to her recently a little note, just said, Laura, you rescued me, and I love you. And I feel that way every day. Paul says in his letter a lot of greetings and a lot of things to different people. But in his foundation, he's reminding us that our sins are gone. I hope I can contain. And you did a fantastic job leading, by the way, and your team. Oh my goodness, just awesome. My chains fell off. Hallelujah. I've been set free. Christ has ransomed me. That's what you led us in singing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Our sins are forgiven. Running to God. God's actually running to us. He's pursuing us more than we're pursuing him. Part of our foundation is recognizing that God has forgiven us. He's washed us clean. He's taken away our sins. Oh, hallelujah. Put my glasses back on so I can read the next one. There's nothing that you can do to please God. He's already done it for us. We're happy because our sins are forgiven. We're happy because He has washed them away and taken them completely from us. That's our foundation. Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven and they're covered. Oh, hallelujah. Other people might remember them, but God doesn't. Other people might bring them up to you, but God doesn't. Oh, hallelujah. Look, I already went through 4 chapters and you didn't realize it. Got 12 more to go. I'll just keep clicking and we'll get there. Chapter 5 tells us that there is, that we have justification. It's just as if we never sinned. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
You ever walk up to somebody that they just remember everything you did bad? And they have a way of reminding you, just in case you forgot. That's not Jesus. That's not Him at all. When He meets you, He wraps His arms around you. Because He's already taken all of that sin away. We're justified freely forever in His name. Hallelujah. We're rejoicing in our foundation. If you want to pursue God, one of the principles you have to get a hold of is rejoice in the foundation that God has given you. God has laid out a wonderful foundation. When I was young, 13 years of age, I prayed a prayer. I could tell you exactly where I was sitting, what was happening. I could tell you all the details. But I still got 11 chapters left. I just wanted to know God. And I said, God, if You're real, and I know You are, and You just show Yourself to me, I'll live for You. And what God did in my life, that day, I was plagued with nightmares. I'm telling you, I would wake up in the middle of the night and see flames licking around me. I was in hell, and I knew it. I was sweating when I woke up. And the day that I prayed that prayer, March the 10th, 1977, I wrote it down. God met me with peace. And took those dreams away. The first time He met me was in my dreams. And He just gave me peace and grace. That's part of my foundation. My parents are part of my foundation. Grace from God is part of my foundation. You have to rejoice in your foundation. I'm going to ask you a question that I want you to answer out loud to the person next to you. Something in your foundation is important to rejoice in. God gave you something. Mine was peace and dreams. What did God give you in your pursuit of Him that you would say, that's part of my foundation? I want you to take a minute and just tell the person next to you. Just share it with them. Tell them what your part of your foundation is. All right, the rest of you have to wait till lunch. You can talk more during lunch. On the screen was the scriptures from Ezra talking about the foundation being laid at the temple. Second pursuit of God principle that I want to talk to us about is how we respond. See, the truth is, you just shared something wonderful in your foundation to the person next to you. But there are some things that you probably didn't say out loud.
but you know inside is also part of your foundation. Just some quick examples. Laura and I always say to each other, great people have great stories. And if you study Einstein's life at all, you realize he's one of the greatest minds on the earth. Did you know he couldn't talk until he was 4 years old? His parents didn't think he had a brain in his head or the ability to even speak, communicate. One of the greatest basketball players that has ever lived. Did you know that in 1978 he got cut from his varsity high school basketball team? Couldn't dunk a ball, so it was no good. One of the most wealthy women in TV. Did you know that as a child she suffered sexual abuse? And when she first went to work at a TV station, the first boss told her, "You're too emotional. You'll never make it in TV," and fired her. I bet he bites his words now. You may not recognize this person, but you sung the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Horatio Stafford, before he wrote that, suffered great loss.
Yeah.
On the material side, he lost a business in a fire. He dealt with some heavy sickness with his wife, but he buried 4 of his daughters. They were drowned at sea. Great people have great stories. You know why? Because they respond favorably. They make a different choice. It's what was just said. One choice away, one good choice away. Paul asks in chapter 8, he says, "What then will we say in response to these things?" And if you read the whole chapter, you'll find that these things are not happy things. In fact, one spot he says, we're being slaughtered. I don't see that as a happy thing. And he talks about Jesus dying on the cross. And he deals with things in our life that'll make us cry. In our pursuit of God, a principle is, how do we respond? I want you to see this video. I want you to see these two people you know by their songs that we sing. Matt and Beth Redman. Some of the songs are like, "Blessed Be the Name of the Lord," 10,000 Reasons. Listen to what they said in this interview. We'll just listen to about 3 minutes of it.
In terms of your background, both of you came from quite difficult backgrounds. Beth, just say a little bit about your own story.
Yeah, I was brought up in a council estate in Crawley, and often when you put a lot of people together that are maybe marginalised or struggling, there can be a lot of chaos, and I definitely grew up around that. There was on the same street as me brothels and drug dealers and crime and abuse, and my first memory was of seeing my dad choke my mum till she passed out, and just a lot of violence and trauma and pain. But what is amazing about our God is that he will always make a way. And for me, I might have grown up there, that might have been where I came from, and I'm proud of that. But he made a river for me in the midst of that place, and he made a way, and that was through the local church. And in the middle of that council estate, there was a community centre, and it was shared between the Roman Catholics, the Anglican, and the Free Church, and afterwards it became a pub. So I grew up believing in the unified church and having a good old drink after church. But yeah, I went to that church and I learned about Jesus. Yet in my house and in my school and on the state that I lived in, I learned what I wasn't. I wasn't good enough, I wasn't pretty, I was ugly, I was this, I was that, I wasn't qualified, I had no hope, I had nothing going for me in the natural. But in that church, I learned who I am in Jesus, that I have a hope and a future, that every day ordained for me is written in his book, that he is my healer, my shepherd, my father, my friend, my redeemer, and he will make a way where there is no way. And so thank God for that river.
Tell us about your encounter with Jesus. How did that happen?
Well, I went on a Christian ski holiday when I was 18 to find a boyfriend. And actually, I've been struggling because I would go to church and I loved it, and then I would go home and I was so broken. I was so rejected and hurting and confused. And I it says in the Bible, doesn't it? See, I've set before you a path of death or life, choose life. But I would find myself struggling, going between back and forth. And I went on this ski holiday, and part of the thing was there was a guy preaching every night, preaching the gospel. And it was things I'd heard before, but it was that week that I decided. And he was preaching, and I was looking out of the window at this massive mountain, you know, covered in snow. And I was listening to him preaching, looking at the mountain, and thinking about my life, and I was thinking, you know, this is true. This is real. Jesus died on the cross for me. That mountain, that is just the tiniest picture of how great God is. And it doesn't matter what I've been through or how painful my past is. There is no devil in hell that can separate me from the love of God. And I decided that I am going all out for Jesus. And I didn't get a boyfriend, but I tell you, I got a hope and a future on that ski trip.
Now listen to
Matt,
what Matt says.
You also had quite a difficult time growing up.
Yeah, it was quite a turbulent time for sure. When I was 7 years old, I came home from school one day, and my mum sat me down, told me that my dad died that day. And I didn't really know the reason at the time, but a little while later, she let me know he had actually taken his own life. I think that brings him several questions of his own. Was there anything to do with me? Didn't he love us enough? You know, I don't think I understood depression at that point. But it's interesting how, even in that moment, God really had his hand on my life. And just a few weeks later, a team came from America for the first time, a guy called John Wimber and the Vineyard Movement, who I know a lot of you are familiar with. And they came to our church in the UK, and my mum took me along. So there's this midweek meeting, 7-year-old kid, I've just lost my dad. And I saw some amazing stuff. I saw someone who'd been in a wheelchair, who I've known all my life, get up around out of the wheelchair and walk around the church, which was a pretty amazing moment. And but also I was really intrigued by the worship music. Something about the way they were talking to God. There's no way then I could sum it up, but now I would say it's the people of God in the presence of God, pouring out the praise of God, and something amazing happening. And something just God got hold, started getting hold of my life in that moment in a special way. And I became a Christian. Age 10, at Lewis Palau rally at QPR football stadium. You laughing at QPR, or what's the little singer? Who was there? Anyone there at that time? Yeah, fantastic. And even, I love how God works, because last summer I was in Central Park with 60,000 people leading worship at Lewis, a big rally that was very similar to the Wembley one. Not the Wembley one, I just exaggerated it. QPR. I wish. So, you know, I love that. And then when I was 13, my mum had remarried, and this new guy was very abusive towards me, and he abused me for about a year and a half, and he ended up going to jail for a couple of years. And it was an interesting thing. I think a bit like Beth, that just, I was so glad that I was standing on the solid rock of Christ at that time. You know, I was. There's all this turbulence around me, but I was so glad that I found him, he found me, and actually, you know, I do this worship music now, but back then, that was a massive part of what kept me sane and stable. I'd sometimes pray myself to sleep with Psalms. I remember Psalm 121 was a big one for me. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let you sleep. And, you know, I think I found out pretty early on that the throne of God, not only is it a place of reverence, but it's a place of refuge. And if everything else in your world is breaking and shaking apart, it's a stable place, it's a constant place, it's an unshakable place that you can go and hang out. And so for me, worship and worship music really became like a refuge for me.
Do you hear what they're saying? They're describing tremendous
refuge
in just a few
everything
words.
Else.
But what changed was their response to it. What was different
was how they reacted. Another lady at the dinner last night, I asked the same question. She said, well, sometimes at 2 in the morning, I get up out of bed and I go into another room and I dance with Jesus. She said, I just let the Holy Spirit touch me. Your response is what's important. There are some things that you can't change, but you can change your response. Beth couldn't change the fact that she grew up in a house where there was such violence that she nearly saw her mom die. Matt couldn't change the fact that where he grew up, his first father, his biological father, committed suicide, and he's just a kid. And then his mom remarries, and that father takes advantage of him, so much so that he has to go to jail for it. He can't change it, but he can respond differently. He can choose to make a different response. I want you to hear just one more step in their lives that I think brings this home. In another interview that Beth was describing, as a young family, they decided they were going to have a lot of kids. And they had immediately two of them. I just told your pastor earlier, I said, I haven't met your son yet. I don't know how that's possible, but I haven't met Hudson. They had two kids right away, and the third one was on the way, and Beth miscarried. Laura and I can tell you that dealing with one miscarriage is very difficult. Many of you know the pain of that as well. It depends on how you respond in your pursuit of God. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Beth didn't just have one, though. She had five. That's a lot of pain. But she believed that God was healing her. They moved to a new house. 30th birthday. They hired a gospel choir. Matt wrote a beautiful song that's playing in the background. Is that, there it comes up. This song here. He wrote this as a gift to his wife, believing together that God had helped them conquer this difficult passage. 150 guests are at their house, hired choir, singing this song, I will fear no evil. My God is with me. And before Beth comes out to greet the guests, she's in another little room having another miscarriage. Number 6. How do you respond? How you respond either helps you pursue God and recognize that He's after you too, or you put things on pause and quit, or you go a different direction and your pursuit ends, or at least stagnates. Beth didn't respond that way. This is what her response was. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out my fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I'm not going to turn back. I know you're near. I will fear no evil, for God is with me. There's so much more to say on this principle, but I have to finish, and so I want to share with you one more principle. Our foundation, we rejoice in. We have to respond favorably towards God. But we have to recognize what Pastor said at the beginning. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Not life or death. Not height or down below. Nothing, no power on earth or beside us can separate us from God's love. Nothing. because God is pursuing us.
Oh, hallelujah. Don't you know that God
is running after you just like he ran after that boy in the scripture?
Don't you know that God himself loves you more than you love him?
He wants you.
Amen.
He pursues you. He chases after you. This year, I prayed and I asked God, as I do every year, for a scripture that helped lead me through the year. Last year, the Lord spoke to me about things that I've been praying for a long time that would come to pass. And they did. The year before, it was something different. And each year, I try to have something. This year, the Lord impressed on me as I began reading the Bible over afresh. I started from the beginning and just started reading and asking God to speak to me. And there's a verse in Deuteronomy 10 and 11. It says, you will eat from gardens that you haven't planted. You will drink from wells that you haven't dug. You'll live in cities that you haven't built. For I am your Lord, the Lord your God, and I'm with you. I have to confess to you something. Over the 40 years that I've been preaching, the majority of my prayers have been asking God for a word for somebody else. I don't know if you can really understand what I'm saying, but maybe as a parent you can think of that too. You're always worried about somebody else. I've prayed and I seek the Lord for a congregation, for a family, for a friend. And I ask God to give me something that I can share with them. But I ask God something different this year. I said, God, would you talk to me just for me? No, I wasn't backslidden. But I wasn't getting up at 2 a.m. in the morning either, dancing with Jesus. Can you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I needed, in my own life, a refreshing. And I asked God. It's the same prayer I prayed when I was 13, to tell you the truth. Just in different words. God, if you're real, and I know you are, will you just be real to me? If you want to pursue God, you have to understand this. He's already chasing after you before you ever said a word. Before you ever came into this service, he already sent the Spirit after you. God had already been talking to me in the Bible as I was reading it, being diligent. This is what I started doing. I think I have a couple of them on the screen there. But I started to write down words as I read them.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And I put it in my pocket. So that when I'm walking around during the day, you know, you just kind of put your hands in your pocket.
Yes. Hallelujah.
This is the most recent one. 2 days ago. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I'll have compassion.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Ben, I changed the way I read now, though. Instead of looking for how I can share it with you, this is what I've been doing. Lord, let me have mercy. Not just your mercy, but mercy on others. Let mercy be produced in my life. I'm pursuing God, but he's pursuing me. He gave me this scripture when we were at camp. Is there anybody that I can show kindness to? David calls him Mephibosheth. But I'm not reading it that way. Lord, I'm reading it this way. Lord, bring me somebody I can show kindness to. Make me kind. Earlier this week, and I meant to bring it with me because I wanted to show you what I've been doing. You can kind of tell it on this one from a distance. You can see that this part is a little bit bolder. I use a green marker. The verse said, be gentle. Well, it actually talked about the Holy Spirit's gentleness from the book of Colossians. But I didn't read it that way. I read it, Lord, I need gentleness in my life. Help me to be gentle. Every person I meet today, let me be gentle. Another scripture that I came across said, I will contend for you. Paul said that too in the scriptures in Colossians 2. He said, I'll contend for you. I'll fight for you. So I put it in my pocket. And I came across somebody that day who was down. And I said to them, you know what? God's fighting for me. And I'm going to fight for you. I want to contend for you. And I read the scripture and said, I want to pray for you. I want God's presence in my life. Does it make sense what I'm trying to say to you?
Thanks.
You have to refresh frequently. Can I give you one more example that will help? The other day, I sat down in my living room, and I turned on the television, and some goofy announcement came up. And I couldn't understand why it wasn't showing me the program. I was at the computer, there's computers right in the same room, and the computer wouldn't turn on right. It says, this site is unavailable. I looked at the router and it had a red dot on the top. Some of you already know what's happening, right? This is what I had to do. I had to go down in the basement where the wires come into the house. You know what I had to do, didn't you? Shut it all off and wait for it to refresh. I went upstairs and did the same thing. To the television, the same thing to the computer, the same thing to the router, and it seemed like an eternity. But it finally started coming back up. Sometimes that's what you got to do in life. You just got to pause a second. The boy said to his dad, Dad, I'll use your words. You're great, I'm terrible. And he doesn't even get all the words out. And his father said, pause! And refreshed him. Throw the party! And God began to minister to my soul. I'll say this to you. In that happening, I had to face reality. This is a whole other sermon, but I want you to hear this part of it. Lord, I don't really have mercy right now. I need it. I'm not really gentle. I'm not really responding favorably. I'm not really, and as the scripture, I started to apply it to me and ask the Lord how I could change. This morning, I don't know where you are in the journey, in your pursuit of God. My brother, if you would come for, yes, thank you. Can you just bow your heads a minute?
Yeah, please.
Pastor Ben gave me freedom to close how I wanted to, how I felt the Lord was leading. While I was preparing, I really thought that I was going to ask you to come forward, but I'm not. I really feel a different leading of the Lord Maybe you're in the foundation part and you just have to ground yourself. And you're going to stand in a minute right where you're at and say, God, I'm going to rejoice in the foundation that you've given me.
Amen.
Maybe that's where you have to be today and you just say, God, I want you. And so I'm just going to recognize everything that you've done in my life and I'm going to count it out and write it down or tell somebody else, this is what you have done. Maybe you're in the second principle and you're walking through something that's just not good. And you're going to stand in a minute. You're going to say, God, help me to respond favorably. Help me to respond in forgiveness. Help me to respond knowing that you're right there with me. I'll tell you this, when that happened to me, I did the same thing that I'm doing now this year, is I wrote down a scripture and kept it on me. I said it 5 times at least a day to myself. Maybe you're in the last principle where you just need a refreshing. You got to unplug everything else. You just got to say, wait a minute, God. I can't take another step until I breathe in your refreshing. And you want to stand because you just want to recognize the God refreshing. Just a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand in response. How you feel God is leading you. And just right where you're at, to stand there and pray and talk to the Lord. And Pastor Ben's going to come and he's going to do the next part of the service and close it out. But I think that we've got to take the time to recognize what God's doing here. Because some of you need to go back to the foundation and say, God, my sins, forgive me. Some need to respond in such a way to say, God, that nothing can separate me from your love. Some need to just pause and say, God, I need a refreshing of your Holy Spirit. I'm going to be honest with you. This year I've had to do all three and way more. But I woke up. Howard was fresh today as he was when I was 13. I don't stand in front of you as somebody who's knowing everything, but who's experiencing a refreshing this year in such a way that it's hard to describe. But I want God. I want His presence. I need His peace. I need His love. And I need His character to shine out through me. Last example before I ask you to stand. Marie Burnett wrote the song, This is the Air I Breathe. You know that song? This is the air I breathe.
Hallelujah.
She wrote it right after her boss committed suicide. She invited him to church, and he came. And a few days later, he ended his life. And she didn't know what to do. She began to pray before God. And in the midst of her prayers, she said, wait a minute. I can't do anything without God. I can't even breathe without God. I'm not going to let anything push me away from God. I need Him more than anything. Come on, stand to your feet. Tell Him, I need you. I need you. Whatever it is, turn it over to Him right now. His refreshment. Jesus is there. I felt and put his arm around me sometimes in those situations. And just say, son, I'm with you. I'm here with you. Listen to me. Even if it's your fault, can you grasp hold of this? Even if it's your fault, it doesn't matter to Jesus. And he just comes and loves you anyway. Oh, hallelujah. I want so bad to lay hands on you and let the Holy Spirit just pour out on you. But I need more God to do it inside of you. And let it swell up in you. Oh, hallelujah. This is the air I breathe. I can't do anything without him. He wants to fill you, not me. He wants to. He's running after you. Oh, hallelujah. Pastor Ben, I'm glad you did it. Thank you for letting me be here. Thank you for letting me share from the scripture. Thank you. I don't know everything. In fact, I know so little. But I do know this. God will walk with you at least 42 years. I'm believing it's going to be 43 next year. But I do know this. For 42 years, he's been with me. And he's pursued me. He'll do the same for you. Oh, hallelujah. Thanks, Pastor Ben.
One second, but here's what I want you to do. Wait. In one second. We're going to cross the aisles and everybody's going to hold hands. We're going to cross the aisles and everybody. You're not alone. You're not in this by yourself. You're holding hands with people who are struggling in the same way that you're struggling.
Yeah.
You are holding hands with people who've been through what you're going through.
Yeah.
You're holding hands with people who are going to go a place you've already been. You're not alone. This is the body of Christ. This.
Yeah.
This is the body of Christ. You are not alone. When it comes to foundation, if yours is broken, you're not alone. God can repair your foundation and build things on it you never thought possible. Struggling a little bit with how you're responding, so is the person next to you, holding your hand.
Come on, that's right.
They're having trouble responding too. Their junk might be different than your junk, but it's affecting them in the same way, and you're both having the same response. God can change that right now. Anything that's holding you back from rejoicing, the person beside you or somebody in this room has been held back by the same thing. You are not alone. Here's the beautiful thing. Your God is their God, and their God is your God, and that God is here for you in this moment. God is here to dust off that foundation and strengthen it. He's here to fill you in a way that your response defies your circumstances and your situations. And if you want to rejoice, he will fill you in a way that you didn't think possible. We're all different folks, but we are all here together. You're not alone. And God is here for each and every one of us. Father, we stand together united and say, in Jesus' name, our foundation is strong. In Jesus' name, we will respond in a way that brings glory to your name. In Jesus' name, we rejoice. We rejoice, God. We rejoice in the grace and the mercy and the passion that drove you to the cross. We rejoice, Father. We rejoice and we say, devil, you're a liar, and we defy you in every way, shape, and form. You will return to hell back from whence you came with all of your lies and your smoke and your deceit. We stand on the foundation of blood set for us 2,000 years ago. Change us, God, where we stand. We pray for the person in our left hand. In Jesus' name, be their foundation. Father, show them where you have been. Show them how you have showed up for them. Show them where you are working in their present, and show them where you're going to be in their future. Show them, Father, that person in our left hand. We pray for the same thing for the person in our right. God, bless them and be their joy so that they can rejoice and be refreshed. Father, I pray that people will not be the same walking out of here as they walked in. You, my friend, you can choose right now. Today is your day. You can choose to be different than the way you walked in the door today. You can be different. You can go home and be a different person. You can go home and respond differently. You can go home and stand differently and sit differently and sleep better. You can go home and be different today. God, we stand together. We are your church, your body. We are so grateful, Father, that you are the head. Guide us and lead us and direct us. Father, refresh us and remind us who you are. And not just who you are, but who we are. Because you paid the ultimate price for who we are. You paid the ultimate price for your people, for your body. You paid the ultimate price. Remind us who we are, God. Thank you, Father, and we praise you. Because you are such a great God. Even now you are lifting burdens. Even now you are untangling messes. Even now you are binding up wounds. Even now the past is becoming hazy and distant. Even now forgiveness is falling like rain. Even now hope is rising. Even now doubt is being destroyed. Even now as we stand here, Father, you are changing people by the power of your Spirit. We stand together and we declare we are not alone. You are here for your people. Here for us, God, and we are so grateful. We pray blessings and peace and hope for the person in our left hand. God, bless them in ways unimaginable. For the person in our right hand, we declare that peace will be theirs in Jesus' name. The peace that transgresses circumstance, the peace that transpasses our ability to understand. We thank you, Father, for this time. God, I thank you for this word today. Oh my God, what a timely word. Thank you for the man who brought it, for the way that you are working and moving in him, for the way that you are changing him, for the way that you are recreating him from the inside out, for the way that you are blessing him.
Yes.
You're going to use him to bless people, but you bless him first.
Hallelujah.
You want to use us, God, but you want to bless us first. You don't want us to give things away that we don't have. You want us to give us those things so that we can give them away. We love you, God, and we thank you for today. We thank you for your power and your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat.